Oh, that might be better. That's pretty loud, though. There you go. Thanks, Joe. So, I struggled with this a lot when shutting down the retail business because, you know, we had a goal in our business when we first started it, and Julie and I started this business. We're actually celebrating our 25th year. And one of my goals was, as a salesman, in my pride, was to get our business to do $1 million. Now, if we could do $1 million in a year, that would be great. You know, that would be totally awesome.
He's telling me this for the first time.
No, she knows this. But that would be really a huge accomplishment for us, you know, as a small family-owned run business. And in the last 2 years, we have gotten this so close. And the retail has helped us. And, you know, the business is doing good. I can't complain about the business. And that's what is a struggle when things are going great, is letting go of them. You know, when it's a little harder. If things are going hard, it's like, yeah, forget it. You know what I mean? That's not working out. That's, you know, it's time to move on. But we have, in 25 years of business, have worked through so many difficulties and trials and financial stresses and financial burdens that it was, you know, we leaned a lot on, you know, I leaned a lot on my own strength, my own abilities, and knowing what, you know, and pushing and pushing and pushing to make this thing succeed. And finally, we're at a point where it's like it's succeeding and doing great. And now we're giving it up. And it's like, Lord, what are you doing, you know? And things are going well. Why quit now? But it's a point where it's not about the business anymore. It's all about God. And having new faces come into the church, even though, I don't know, besides the Doties, I don't know where the rest of my family is. They're around. Well, Michelle's back there. But you know what I mean. With the other kids, it's like they're hit and miss, come and go. And we need to be praying for them that they get on a regular schedule, because they usually are here with us. But seeing some new faces in churches and trusting, stepping out in faith and trusting God that He's going to provide no matter what is an excitement for me. I'm pretty excited to see my cousin Michelle here. Mrs. Bevel's back. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that she stays back. But we're going to trust God. And I know Mom and Dad, they'll wander in, because, like, Michelle thought the church was at 10:30. The rest of our family thinks the church is at 11:30. So, and Mom and Dad just come and go whenever they please. So they're on their own time schedule. And, you know, God bless them. Because Julie's mom founded this church back in 1985. And Lord has done great, mighty things on this hill. And, you know, we go through these peaks and valleys in life. And I believe the church has been going through these peaks and valleys. But we've been faithful. You know, since 2009, I've been preaching the word up here. That's 16 years. And I've preached to empty chairs, and I'm going to continue until God says something else. But I'm just going to be faithful, even though we had a lot of opposition. I would come down when we first started. I would come down to this building and I would pray over the chairs. I would anoint the doors and the windows. I would pray for God's anointing and breakthrough. You know, it's funny that there's three sets of doorways that you walk through when you come into the church. And I would anoint them doors, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, every Sunday morning. Go through with it. And you can look, there's oil stains on the wood where I've anointed. The oil stains on the wood and even on the windows and the doors, you know, because, you know, I just want God's presence here. And I want all of us to be touched by God's presence. And I want not just that, I want us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. You know, and that that we would just go out and do the works that He's called each one of us to do. And we need the Holy Spirit in our lives just so to get through the day, to get through the week, and to trust in Him. And, you know, all that to say, I'm thankful, even though there's only four of you here. You know, praise God.
It's more than normal.
You know, it's two more than normal. We should say two more than normal. You know, and I'm so thankful for those that are faithful and are continuing to be faithful. And I know when you're not here, you're here in spirit and truth, and I believe that. But it's nice seeing some people. And I just thank God for that. And it's, you know, I believe God's going to do great things.
Amen.
On this hill, and they're going to be even better than before, because we're new wineskin, and He's not going to fill old wineskin with new wine.
Amen.
He's going to fill new wineskin with new wine. We're in a new time. We all know it's the end times. We all know that God's going to pour out His Spirit in a new way, and it's going to be something greater and better than what we can ever imagine. You know, it's not going to be the healing movement. It's not going to be a charismatic movement. It's going to be an end time movement for salvation, for God's kingdom. Amen. And I believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, just like He says in Joel chapter 2, that He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, and He'll do great and mighty things in our lives. And I just trust that. I believe that. I'm waiting, anticipating, and excitement for that day. And you know, this could be the beginning of that.
Amen.
You know, we never know. We just step out in faith each day, and we walk by faith, not by sight. And we just trust in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So,
now I'm giving. We speak Your holy name, Jesus. We speak Your holy name, Lord, over this day, over this place, over Your purpose for us, Lord, over Your will for our lives, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just, Lord, as a body, Lord, we commit to following You. We commit to following You. Help us, Lord, give us strength, give us faith, give us direction. And Lord, just fill our hearts, Lord, even with praise and worship, Lord. Fill our hearts with praise and worship, that we could worship the King. We can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all of our hearts, we pray, Lord. And we ask You to bless this service, bless the word, bless Chris as he gives the word. Bless all of our hearts and ears and spirits to receive what You have for us individually today, Lord. And we give You praise and glory and honor. And everyone said, amen. Amen?
Thank You, Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. Grace, you want to come down? I know you girls have to leave to go to a birthday party, so we're going to take up an offering, amen? So, Father, we just thank You and we praise You for this tithe and offering that You're bringing in this place. I pray that You would bless Your people, Lord God. Bless those that give cheerfully, Lord God. We're giving where it's eternal, Lord Jesus. Where, Lord God, rust and moth will not devour it. And we just thank You, Lord God, for what You're doing in the kingdom of God and what You're doing here in this place and here in our in our midst. And Lord God, we just give You the reins, Lord God, to do what You will is. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be having a guest speaker. It's actually our grandson. When is he coming? Next week. I'm not sure. Do you know when, girls? For sure? Next week is the 13th, next week's the 21st. Following week, 2 weeks from now. He'll be back from his Ecuador mission trip. And our church, through donations, have donated a well in Ecuador. It was quite the thing. So We're bringing fresh water to the world, amen, which is really important in third world countries. That we did it before in Kenya. We put a well in Kenya, and we did a well in Ecuador now. So we're bringing living waters, huh? There you go. Living waters to the people around the world, right from this little community, right from this little bitty church, amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any other announcements? No? No birthdays coming up? Kizzy's having a birthday on the 21st coming up. Who's? Ephraim just had a birthday. How old is he now? Is he 17? Oh, my goodness. Well, come on over, Ephraim. We got to sing you happy birthday. Ephraim, our space cadet. Yeah, there you go. He is the Owego Drone Soccer Team champion, state champions. Came in what rank in the nation? Fifth in the nation. Isn't that amazing? Fifth in the nation. Number one in the state. So praise God. So Ephraim is getting very tall. But he can't get taller than 6'2 because, you know, he wants to be an astronaut. So is that the height limit?
Yeah.
So he's never going to get taller than 6'2. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Ephraim. We pray that you bless him all the days of his life, that you have great plans for him, plans to prosper him and for him to be in good health. And we're just thankful, Lord God, that he's our grandson. We pray, Lord God, that you would just surround him with your angels and minister him all the days of his life, Lord. And we're just going to sing happy birthday to you. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ephraim. Happy birthday to you. Hey, happy birthday. I tried to sing you happy birthday on your birthday, but your phone doesn't take voicemail. 17. It's amazing that he's 17 years old already. Praise the Lord. All right, well, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be preaching out of Jeremiah. And it's a funny thing because my wife and I were talking about Jeremiah this week. And this morning I had a thing about Jeremiah on my phone. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, then I got to be preaching on Jeremiah. So, and everybody knows the scripture in Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Think about that for a second. This is the Lord's declaration over you. Over you for today. Over each one of us. He's declaring it. And when the Lord declares something, you can bank on it. You can put the money in the bank. You can believe it. You can believe it without having any shadow of a doubt. What are his declaration over you? He plans for you. He plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And you know, we were talking about this, Julie and I, the other day in the car, and we were talking about he gives you a future and a hope. You know what that hope is? That hope is Jesus. And that future is with him in eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Think about it. The prophet Jeremiah, who wrote this, was talking to the Israelites when they were going into captivity into Babylon and to Nebuchadnezzar. And he's telling them, God has great plans for you to prosper, to give you hope, to give you a future. And they're thinking, who is this prophet who's speaking these things while we're being drug off to Babylon? Right? Jeremiah believed God so much that he bought a field in Israel. And even though he knew he was going to be in the captivity for 70 years, but he knew what they didn't know because Jeremiah was close to the Lord and the Lord spoke to them. And he had a word from God. And when you get a word from God, you don't let it go. When you get a word from God, it changes everything. It changes your whole perspective on life. It changes your whole perspective on your whole thinking process. And it's amazing when you get a word from God. I got a word from God on a park bench almost 40 years ago, And the kids, I'm surprised they're not laughing, because I've told them the story a million times. But that word of God changed my life instantly, and it's never gone back. It's never, my life's never looked back. I've never looked the same as I did back then as I do now, because God did the work. But God has plans for us. He has plans for your well-being, and it's not for a disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This is a declaration to God. This is a declaration from God, I should say. You will call to me and come and pray, and I will listen. So what's God telling us? Pray, seek, knock, come, find, search, right? And he will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but the devil has stolen many things from me, not just time. You know, he's stolen, like when you start feeling like you're getting ahead, and then all of a sudden the car breaks down, or a washer goes, or a stove goes, or who knows, all three can happen at once. He's done it before. When you think you're getting ahead, what happens? The devil steps in and he steals it from you. Guess what? We can claim it back. Our pastor used to tell us, claim it sevenfold. Be bold. Claim it sevenfold. You know? Claim it back sevenfold with interest. Amen. Anything that's been stolen from you. God is going to restore the fortunes, and he will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore to you the place from which I departed you. The Lord is speaking. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Lord has been speaking a lot lately through his word. He's been speaking. He, you know, I know he's speaking. My wife is sitting there like, yes, he has. And are you finally getting it? Are you finally getting it? See, I'm pretty thick-skulled, so I can understand. I gotta be hitting the head with a 2x4. I gotta be run over by UTV or something, you know, before the Lord gets my attention or something, you know. Well, it happened this week, so it's all good. But anyways, the Lord is speaking to his people. I know he's been, you know, my grandson, he's not here right now, but the Lord spoke to him. You know, when they had that bad storm come through and we lost power for almost 3 or 4 days up here. But he lost power up in Shenango Bridge, and he had 7 trees fall. It was like the only house in his neighborhood that had 7 trees fall around him. And he's like, and then he opens up the word, and in the word it talks about all this devastation going on all around him. You know, but it didn't hurt the house, didn't hurt anything, his flip house. Just all these trees fall. And he's like, if you think this is God speaking to me, when he opens right up to it and it tells you everything about the storm coming and the trees. It's amazing. I need to let him tell his testimony on that. But God was speaking to him through the word. God was speaking to me this morning through the word, through the prophet Jeremiah. And he confirmed it with having a message, you know, come through on Jeremiah 2. And I'm like, okay, Lord, now I'm paying attention. You know, it's like the 2x4. Dong, dong, get it, dummy. You'll get it. So, Lord, what are you saying? He's using his word, which is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. He's waking up our spirits. He's reviving us so that we wouldn't be caught off guard on his return. I believe that's what God is doing. He's starting to awaken our spirits, so that we won't be caught off guard when he returns. He warns us about being ready at all times. You know, and being on guard, being a watchman. You know, the world knows that he's coming soon. All creation is groaning right now. We can see it through everything that's been happening in the world with floods. You know, I saw a thing the other day that Mount Rainier is getting ready to blow its top. 300 tremors they're having up there. You know, I can remember when Mount St. Helens, you know, when that volcano exploded. And I remember the destruction that it caused. You know, we're still having all these wars and rumors of wars. There's no peace, you know. All creation is groaning. It's just like the Bible tells us. It's just like Jesus warned us about. But we don't have to worry, because God has a future for us and a plan for us and a hope. Amen. We don't have to be afraid. We have a hope. That hope is Jesus. The future of eternity with Him forever. But what we really need to do is start seeking Him. And not like we, not carelessly, not off the whim, you know, not with a 5-minute prayer, you know, in the morning. I have a 5-minute repetitive prayer that I do every day. You know what I mean? And I know God is calling me to do more. You know, my wife and I, we pray every morning while we're having coffee before we even, you know, start the day off with work. You know, that's been our routine. But I know God is calling us to do more. With all our heart. All of our heart. I have put a lot of my heart into our business to see it succeed, because I don't want to see it fail. And I will not give up. I would never quit, never surrender, I would say. And my wife would concur on that. You know, I'm going down with the ship. You know, I'm not going to give up. This thing is going to make it, you know, come hell or high water. It's going to make it, no matter what. We're going to trudge through. We're going to keep going. But can you imagine putting all of your heart like that into seeking the kingdom of God? Can you imagine putting all, when you have your heart set on something, no matter what happens, you're going to strive with everything you've got to get what your heart is set on. Whether it be a house, a new car, you know, you vision it, you think about it. You can't stop thinking about it. You know what I mean? It's constantly right there, no matter what it is. It could be a spouse, you know. You could be looking for someone, and you're searching. And you're searching with your heart. Can you imagine putting all of your heart into searching and seeking God, like we put all of our heart into everything else that this world has to desire? I mean, this is where I know the Lord is. He's been calling me and He's been speaking to me about. I need to put all my heart into this kingdom. Into seeking Him. And I'm not doing it. Because I've got one foot in the world, in the business, which is doing great, and you don't want to relinquish it because it's doing good. You know, it's paying the bills. It's supplying food for our families. It's supplying a living for our families. But right when it's doing good, you know, it makes no sense to step out of it, right? But I think God will bless that above and beyond what we can ever imagine, above and beyond what I can imagine. I've got to learn to trust Him with the reins. Because I can only take it so far, but God can take it beyond what I can imagine. And God can, if I put my energy into focusing on Him and seeking Him and searching Him, then God can take me in this place or wherever to a greater place than we can imagine. And He can do the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's no respecter of persons. He can do the same for you if you put your heart into seeking Him with all your strength. Will you imagine seeking God with all your strength, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? Every moment of the day, you're thinking about God. Can you imagine the communion you're going to have, the koinonia it's called, with God? You know, there's been great mighty men that have done this before. Recently, even Smith Wigglesworth was a mighty man of faith. You know, he sought God every day. He wouldn't even let anything come into his house. He wouldn't have a magazine or a newspaper come into his house. The only thing that can come in his house was the Bible. The Bible. Can you imagine that? If you were that, like, nope, I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm not going to listen to opinions of man. I want to hear the Word of God, and that's it. Because I'm living on the Word of God. That is my food. You know, Jesus said man can't live on bread alone but by the Word of God. You know, and he believed it with all his heart. We need to take the Bible literally and believe it with all our heart, because they're finding things out in the Bible that are actually as literal when they thought it was a figurative speech. And they're like, wow, they really meant that, you know. He really meant that. That wasn't made up, you know. That really is happening. But with all our heart. And you know, I'm reminded of a scripture in the Bible where violent men take the kingdom of heaven by force. We need to be taking the kingdom of heaven violently, like violent men. And what happened is the devil gets in our way, and it's time to just push them things out of his way and say, no, I am seeking God. I am seeking the kingdom of heaven with all my strength, with all my force, like violent men. And you don't let the enemy push you back. You push the enemy back. Because the enemy is more afraid of you. Amen? But he's got us bound up not believing in who we are. And if we just believe in who we are as a child of God, you know, and that God is for us, who can be against us? And if we take the kingdom of heaven by force, like violent men, no, I'm not going out there and just saying, acting violent. I'm talking spiritual now. You got to step forward spiritually with fervor, you know, on a mission. And you're going to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. And I'm not going to let the devil speak to me. I'm not going to let him rob me. I'm going to take the kingdom of heaven by force, violently. We need to start making way, you know. That's what I wrote down. Make a way. You know, you ever seen when you get in a crowd and you can't really move? You know, you get in a big crowd and you're like, make way, make way, make way. I gotta get through. And you're like literally trying to part people to get to your destination. And you're saying, excuse me, pardon me, you know. But when it's an emergency, it's like, make way, make way, make way. We're coming through and you got to move. That's how we need to start seeking the kingdom of God like that. Make way, make way, make a way. I'm coming through and nothing's going to stop me. It's actually Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. The kingdom of heaven suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. It's time that we push back with violence the things that hold us back. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 9, you got it up there, Joe? Or do you want me to go to it? Deuteronomy said, listen, Israel. Now he's talking to us when you can say Israel. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This was the Lord's declaration over his people, Israel, when they were in the wilderness by Moses. He was telling them, listen, Israel, I have brought you up out of Egypt. I have taken you into the wilderness. You know, you've seen my miracles and my wonders, brought down the Ten Commandments twice, you know. But listen, I'm making a declaration. Love the Lord your God. This is the greatest commandment. Jesus said it to the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Well, what has the devil done? He's taken that away from us, hasn't he? Because he's taken the Bible and everything out of school. But guess what? It's coming back. The Bible's coming back. God's moving in our midst. We might not see him. I've heard people say it's kind of like a silent revival. Even Hollywood's being saved. But nobody's talking about it. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your houses. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up.
And keep God on your thoughts. Keep God on your mind. Keep God in your house at all times. Bind them as a sign in your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your city gates. That's what we need to do with God's word, right? That's what he's telling us. Bind them. Hold on to them. Don't let them go. They are life, and life abundantly for us. And if we live and we seek God in this way with all our heart, there is nothing that will be able to stop us. Nothing. Because with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible in God. God will make a way where there is no way. When we put all of our heart into seeking him, when we praise him, can you imagine praising God with all your heart? I can imagine praising God with all my heart. There's many times I've been out in congregation and just pouring my heart out to God in praise and worship, where I couldn't sit still. I couldn't, you know, I just poured my heart out to God. And what I would do is I would stand. When I became saved as a young Christian, I would just stand and worship. And all I would do is picture my Savior on the cross for me, who took all of my sins and my transgressions from me. And I would picture him in my mind. And the devil would come into my mind and he would try to give me bad thoughts. He's like, oh, he didn't do that. He didn't do that for you. Your sins aren't forgiven. No, and I would have to fight him off. I would have to fight the devil off in my mind. And I would just picture Jesus on the cross. And no matter what other picture he tried to throw in front of my mind, I would go back, no devil. And that's what you got to say to him, no devil. You tell him no enough and he'll stop. You say no devil and you just picture Jesus. And no matter what happens, no devil, I'm picturing Jesus on the cross. You're not taking this from me. And you worship him with all your heart. And let him minister to you. Let God minister to you. Because that's when walls break. That's when your spirit gets fed. That's when you're building yourself in your spirit up. Instead of building up your flesh and your soul and your mind, you want to build your spirit. Because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Right? Your soul and your mind, that's where the devil can come in. But you got to take control of that. What I've been telling Julie is I got to have enough of the Holy Spirit in me that I got to have more light in me than darkness to drive out anything that the devil has put in there. Because God is the only one that can do the work in us, in our spirits, and in our bodies, and in our mind. The world can't do it because the world doesn't understand it and know it. We don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't know how God does it. But I know if I put more of him in me, then I'll change and look more like him than I'll look like Chris. Amen? And that's what we all want, right? Because we all want to be closer to God. I want to look like Jesus. I had a big debate about that with a pastor in a car one time when I first got saved. We were on our way to a men's retreat. I'll just give you a quick little story. And my pastor said to me, we're going to Montreal. And he goes, we all look like Jesus. I said, well, we all look like Jesus. He goes, yeah, I just see Jesus in everyone. I said, God just sees Jesus in all of us. And I said, well, doesn't he see me? You know, doesn't he see who I am? Nope. All he sees is Jesus. And I'm like, all he sees is Jesus? And we had this debate. And he got mad at me. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. When I go to Jesus, everybody's going to look like Jesus? Yep, everybody's going to look like Jesus. And I'm like, well, that's boring, right? Why would everybody want to look like Jesus? Why wouldn't God have created me in my image of who I am to be like Jesus, but I want him to also see me? And I think that's part of my pride, because a lot of times you want people to see you instead of Jesus. And I think that's what he was getting at. And I wasn't understanding that in my immature Christian ways back then, because I was curious. I just like, well, God does see you, but he sees Jesus in you. We don't all appear as Jesus, but we all appear as Jesus on the inside because of the work that Jesus has done through us and is regenerating us and making us renew and making us look like Jesus on the inside. And that's what we all want. And when we seek God with all our heart, when we seek his word, when we seek his face, you know, then he changes us to look more like him, to look more like Jesus. Amen. When we make him our all, this is a simple thing. When we make God our all, then God gives us his all. When we make God our all, he gives us his all. But we have to surrender us, our all, to him. Amen?
Amen.
Just like I have to learn how to surrender what we're doing at the business and trust God, because God, I give him my best, right? Which I'm supposed to give anyways. All right? That's just my Christian. You know, when they want to do sacrifices in the lamb, you brought the best sacrifice. You couldn't bring a sacrifice to the temple if it was blemished for your sin, because they used to sacrifice for atonement for sin. We don't do that anymore because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you would bring the best out of your flock because you would want the best in return from God. When we give God our best, he gives us his all. Right? And we've done that before in our tithes and offerings. You know, we were like, okay, Lord, we're going to give to you and your kingdom because we need a blessing. We need a supernatural blessing in order to make it through this next coming week. I mean, there's been times where Julie and I are like, okay, Lord, and we've been in business 25 years. We've never missed a payroll, and we've paid all our bills. And our houses are paid. Church is paid. Property's paid. God did that. God did that. And by grace, God did that. You know? But we give God our all. Guess what? He's going to give us his all. We surrender. And there's been times when we didn't have money for payroll that day. And it was called to be called in that day. We're like, what are we going to do? Well, we prayed. And guess what? The phone rang. Chris, you know that job you were going to do? You know the one we had down in Corning? Well, I think we're going to go ahead with it. When can we meet with you? How about this afternoon? You know? But that's how God works. He's always come through. He's never failed us. He's never quit. He's never failed us yet. And he will never fail you. You know, I believe the word, what he says. And I took it as true. He'll never fail you or forsake you. You hold on to that. And no matter what happens, you stand on his word. I'll never fail you or forsake you. I'll be with you always right to the very end. I'll never fail you or forsake you, Lord. It's your word. You said it. You got to live by it. You got to uphold it. I believe it with all my heart that you'll never fail me or forsake me. You know, I believe with all my heart so many things that if you don't have that belief and that foundation of belief, then you can be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine that's out there. But you stand on the word of God and you stand on the promises that he's given you. You know, that I'm going to have life, and I'm going to have life more abundantly. That means more abundantly than I can imagine. That means it's not my thinking or thoughts, it's his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And then we got to learn how to trust in him for that. Do you know, it's crazy, but when I was a kid, I used to sit out in the lawn, and I would lay in the grass, and I'd watch the sparrows. And it's funny because we have sparrows out here. They've got to be nesting around somewhere close. I know they nest in the barn. But we have sparrows out here, and I was telling Julie the other day, this week or last, and we were watching the sparrows, and I was telling her about the story. I used to lay down in the grass at my grandparents' house, and I would just lay there and I would watch the sparrows fly for hours. You know, for hours, all by myself in the grass, just sit there watching the sparrows fly. And I was always amazed at how the sparrows flew. And, you know, with their two split wings, and they'd dart and dive all around, and they'd fly all around. And I'd just sit there in amazement watching the sparrows. You know, God tells us, and He loves us so much more than the sparrows. You know, that He gave a story to King Solomon. See all the, Jesus said, quoted the thing, do you see all the splendid flowers in the field? And not one of them are the same. Yet Solomon in all his splendor didn't look as beautiful. And his kingdom didn't look as beautiful as these flowers. And yet you see the sparrows of the birds fly? Not one of them will fall to the ground that he would not know about it. Not one sparrow. And he goes on to say, how much more value are you than these sparrows? You are of great value. You have a hope and a future that God has for you. And I want to close with this scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries of its own. Amen? So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for this word that you've given us today. I pray, Lord God, that we would hide it in our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that anything that's of you would just stick to us, and anything that's not of you, Lord God, would just be burned up, Lord God, and cast away. I pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to work in us this week as we go out from here. Lord God, I pray that we would have hope and faith and a belief in you, and that we would start seeking you with all our heart and all our strength. Lord God, I pray this, Lord God. I pray for your help, and that your angels would minister to us, and that you would watch over us and protect us, and that you would keep us with your hands, Lord God, and your eyes would be upon us on everything we do and every decision we make. And we just bind up the devil in Jesus' name. We cast him away from us. We cast him far away, Lord God, that he may never return. And Lord God, and we just pray for you and only you, Lord God, your Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, Lord God. That's all we want. Lord God, we pray for that. And we just ask you for your blessings again on this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, I got the altar open. Come on down. We'd love to pray for you. Amen.